You see people bring up toxic masculinity, and a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk about how to help young men mature in their faith. Young men, we've been talking about how you can know that you have the presence of God in your life. There are just too many young men that are struggling with confidence and they're struggling with anxiety. And I was reading today a little bit more about Gen Z this week and about how so many are just struggling to find confidence and to kind of get their footing. And a lot of that's been based on the last few years of the COVID-19 pandemic. Gen Z adults have reported high rates of anxiety and depression and distress more than any other age group. And a lot of that has been due to the fact that Gen Z has been struggling with how to socialize. They've been struggling with feelings of loneliness and discontentedness. And even since the pandemic, there's just been different concerns about Gen Z's true mental health. And while technology has many benefits, sometimes it's not going to really solve the problem of helping you connect to others and ultimately to connect to God. In fact, one study done back in 2019 and 2020 says that Gen Z reported having the least positive outlook, including lower levels of social and emotional well-being when compared to older generations. In fact, 1 in 4 of those in Gen Z reported feeling emotionally distressed, and that was even double that of the millennials and of Generation X. And it's triple that of the baby boomers. And so we're getting that from Psalm 84. The best way to do that is by being in the presence of the Lord. I can't think of a better remedy for any young man who's struggling with any type of anxiety or depression or lack of growth or maturity than to simply be in the presence of God. And so Psalm 84, it's about making a highway to God. It's about finding your place in the presence of God. And so we're going to look at 4 different truths from Psalm 84. The first one that we looked at last time was that you want to find a passion, as the psalmist does, as passion to be in God's presence. We talked about the beauties of the temple. We talked about the birds of the temple. And we also talked last time about just the blessing of being at the temple. So let's move on. Number 2, the second part about us being in the presence of the Lord is a pilgrimage to God's presence. And we see this in verses 5-7. As first, we're talking about making a highway to Zion. Listen to how the psalmist says it. He says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion." In other words, he's talking here about not just being saved, not just being a Christian, but the process of sanctification. When God saves you, he transports you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And even though as Christians, we're in the kingdom of God, as a Christian, we need to keep coming back. We need to keep coming back to the well, to be refreshed, to be revived, and to be recharged. Now, think about it with me for a moment. As the psalmist says, he's going to make a highway. He says he's blessed are those whose highways or whose heart are found in the highways leading to Zion. Think about that. To make a highway, it takes a long time. If you live in the city, you know that when there's work being done on a freeway or on a major highway, there's traffic diverted, there are roadblocks made. I mean, it takes forever, months, possibly even years to really make an adequate highway. And I think this is what we can learn from that. To make a highway to God, it takes repetition. It takes a lot of effort. It takes an awareness. It takes a commitment to say, you know what, I'm going to make it my regular habit. To me, making a highway to God is about renewing your mind. I mean, think about Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And I'm saying in order to renew your mind, you've got to make a highway to God. You can't be stuck out on the peripheral somewhere. You can't be out there in the rural areas of the Word of God. You need to constantly be running to the Word of God so that you can obey what Philippians 4:8 says. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if anything is worthy of praise, think about these things. And I'm saying to you, young man, right now in your mind, in the inner man of your soul, you've got to be thinking about the presence of God. And as you make a highway to God, it's not always easy because sometimes Psalm 84, verse 6 says, you got to make your way through the valley. Listen to verse 6. It says, as they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. So what is the psalmist talking about? Well, nowhere in the Bible do we read about the Valley of Baca being located as an exact location. And yet, in general, the Valley of Baca has been understood as the Valley of Weeping or even the Valley of Tears. I think this is what the psalmist is saying. As you make a highway to Zion, you're going to go through the Valley of Baca. As you go to Jerusalem, you will go through dry places. You will go through those dark and desert type places where there is no refreshment. You know, it's kind of like when you're going on a long road trip and you kind of hit the wall and you don't know how I'm going to get through. I was recently returning from a trip to Uganda and I had a flight from Qatar to Los Angeles that's 15 and a half hours. And man, I tell you what, that's a long flight. Sometimes during that flight, I kind of feel like I'm hitting the wall. I can't get through. And sometimes that's what life feels like. You just can't quite break through. You're hitting the wall. You're in the valley. And in our life and our pilgrimage towards the presence of God, there's sometimes you're just going to hit the Valley of Baca. There are times when maybe that's you at this very moment that you just feel like giving up. You feel like at this very moment, there's no way I can get into the presence of God because I'm stranded out here in the valley. Listen to me. You're not alone today. There's a lot of people, all of us at some point have found it can be challenging to persevere through the Valley of Baca to get into the presence of God. Hannah went through the Valley of Baca before she gave birth to Samuel. David went through the Valley of Baca when he was escaping the grasp of Saul. Paul went through the Valley of Baca when he was stoned and left for dead. And you and I will go through the Valley of Baca. I mean, there's just struggles and difficulties you're going to find in your life. Maybe today you're going through a health problem, or maybe you have a financial situation where you're broke, or maybe you're going through just a deep, dark depression where you just feel like nobody cares about you, and you're right in the middle of the Valley of Baca, and you don't know what to do. Well, if you're listening to me today, you know that as we press through the Valley of Baca, the rest of verse 6 says, as they go through, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. In other words, in the midst of the valley, in the midst of the difficulty, this now becomes a place of refreshment. It becomes a place of pools. It's like God is now blessing with his rains. In the pilgrimage to God, we'll make it through the Valley of Baca to the place of springs, from dryness to wetness, from the desert to the refreshing rain, from being scorched to being satisfied. The area of your life that used to be so impoverished is now made rich in the grace of our Lord. The stumbling block has now become a stepping stone. The handicap has now become the handiwork of God in your life. The despair has now given way to hope. The mourning has now become rejoicing. Do you hear what I'm saying to you today, young man? Let the freshness of the water of God's word wash over your soul. Let the early rain soak your heart with refreshment. Let the place of pain become a place of praise as you press into the presence of God. And that's what we see in the psalm. That's what we see continuing even in verse 7 as he's now making it into God's presence. Verse 7 says, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Here, I believe the psalmist is talking about going from your strength to God's strength, going from your power to his power, going from your effort to God's efficacy. And know that when you finally get there, each one will appear before God. You will be eventually in the presence of God. I'm not talking about the Wizard of Oz here, some mystical figure where you're afraid to be in his presence because he's upset at you. No. I'm talking about the beauty of being in the presence of Abba Father, the one who knows you by name, the one who says his eye is on the sparrow, but I know that he watches me. He looks at you today, not with disgust, but with love. He sees you not as an outcast, but as an adopted son in his family. He pursues you not only with discipline when needed, but with a genuine desire to encourage you. God sings over you with rejoicing. Jesus prays for you with compassion. The Holy Spirit fills you with his power. Do you sense his presence today? If you're here and you're listening today and you're on a different highway, let me encourage you to make your highway to God. And if you're listening to me today and you're in the middle of the valley of Baca, continue on your journey to God. Find your refreshment in the place of springs. Continue to find refreshment in the presence of the Lord. Now, don't go away. I want you to come right back as we continue to look at Psalm 84 of how we can find ourselves in the presence of the Lord.
And we'll be back with Dr. Tyson in the second half of this episode of Way of Manhood in just a moment. And as he's talking about the highway to God, that reminded me that real manhood, it's not about flexing our independence. It's about consistently pressing in the presence of God. Speaking of pressing in, let me tell you about Trusting God by Dr. Jerry Bridges. Listen, if you're struggling with confidence, Dr. Bridges will dig into exactly why it's easier to obey God than to trust him, and show us how to find real strength in the sovereignty of God. Trusting God by Dr. Jerry Bridges. It's worth you taking the time to pick up from the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org and also reading it when it gets to you. Trusting God by Dr. Jerry Bridges. And if you're wanting to grow as a leader, I want to encourage you to clear your calendar in February. February 14th and 15th, the Masters University is going to be hosting their Think Biblically conference in Southern California. 2 days that it's going to help you develop the kind of confidence that comes from knowing God's truth, not just going with your gut. Can't tell you the full speaker lineup right now because they're constantly adding to it. You can check out more about who the speakers are and grab discounted tickets right now at masters.edu/manhood. You know, we talk about Fortis Institute and all of the changes that have taken place around here, but I'm not quite sure if you realize why we changed our name. Yeah, look, we're living in a world that's trying to tear down as much as possible everything about biblical manhood. And we need to be Fortis, which means strong, resolute, steadfast, not in our own strength, but in God's truth. And that's why we became Fortis Institute. And that's why we brought together voices you can trust that will help you navigate what it means to be a man of God today. I got to tell you, we see something extremely powerful happening just in these last few months of becoming Fortis Institute. More and more men are stepping up, saying enough to the world's confusion about manhood, and they're getting serious about finding their strength in God. And so when you partner with us as a gospel partner, you're helping us reach these men. You're helping us create resources that continue to show men where real confidence comes from. But bringing solid biblical teaching consistently requires resources, and that's why we want to ask you to pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Your commitment, your support helps us create content that will point men to the only source of strength. That's God himself. And so if you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt presently, and you're already giving faithfully to your local church, would you pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? If you need details, you can find them right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
All right. Well, welcome back. We're continuing to look at what it means to be in the presence of the Lord. Young man, if you're listening to me today, I want to encourage you to find your confidence in God. And you can do that in four different ways that Psalm 84 highlights. Number one, by having a passion for the presence of God. We saw that in Psalm 84, verses 1-4. Secondly, the second way is to find a pilgrimage to God's presence. That's in Psalm 84, verses 5 through 7. You got to make a highway to God. You got to make it through the valley, and you got to know that you can, with God's help, make it into his presence. And this leads us to the third truth I want to share with you today from Psalm 84. And this would be the truth of, we also see the psalmist making a prayer for God's presence. We read about that in verse 8 when he says, O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. And so he's just praying out. He's crying out to God. That's the first thing we always want to do when we feel like we're stranded in a bad place, right, is to cry out to God. And listen to verse 9. He's actually praying for a representative of God. Verse 9 says, Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. And so some people talk about, well, who is he praying for here in Psalm 84, verse 9? He's praying for the Lord's anointed. As we know, some would think this would talk about the king. A king could be anointed, could be praying for a prophet. Prophets were anointed. He could be praying for a priest. A priest would be anointed. Again, for the Old Testament, those were the anointings. A prophet, like Elijah, was commanded to anoint Elisha in 1 Kings 19, a priest would be anointed. God tells Aaron to anoint the priest in Exodus 28, or a king would be anointed as Samuel anointed David in 1 Samuel 16. But here's what I think this psalmist is talking about. I think this is a little picture into him praying that the Messiah would come quickly. The Messiah, the anointed one. The ultimate fulfillment of all anointing is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the anointed one. He is the only living prophet, high priest, and reigning king. And I believe that the psalmist here is praying for the ultimate king, King Jesus, to come, who would sit on his throne. That this is part of the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, that David would have a son, who would have a son, who would have a son, whose name would be Jesus, and his kingdom would know no end. And while David's body is still with us to this very day, as Psalm 16 talks about, that the body of Christ would know no decay. Why? Because he's been risen from the dead and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And as Christians, we know that our ultimate shield is found in Jesus Christ, our true King. And so the psalmist here, I think, is just saying a prayer, demonstrating that he's longing to be in the presence of God. He's longing to worship at his feet. The psalmist longs to look upon his face. And this leads us to our last heading, number 4 of Psalm 84, talking about being in the presence of the Lord. Number 4 is a prizing of God's presence, a prizing of God's presence. Check this out, verse 10, the psalmist is saying, God's house is better than anywhere else. And this really builds to my favorite part of Psalm 84 when he says, For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. What's he saying? Just one day in the courts of the temple is better than 1,000 elsewhere. He's not complete and he's not content until he's there in the presence of God. And this psalmist would rather be there and have the privilege of regular, humble service in the temple, just to be a doorkeeper. That's somebody standing on the outside. They're not even there in the holy place. They're not even there in the Holy of Holies, where the high priest would go once a year. This is just a servant. This is just someone outside the temple, there at the door, at the entrance. And he's saying it's better to be a lowly servant in the temple than to be an exalted a sovereign on the throne if I'm surrounded by the wicked. I like how commentator Matthew Henry wrote on this verse. He said, quote, I'd rather be a porter in God's house than a prince in those tents where wickedness reigns. He also wrote on this psalm, it's better to be serving God in solitude than serving sin with a multitude. You hear what he's saying? I'd rather be in the presence of God, even if it's on the outside looking in, than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. This world has nothing for you. Spurgeon wrote here on Psalm 84, verse 10, every man has a choice, and this is ours. God's worst is better than the devil's best. God's doorstep is a happier rest than downy couches within the pavilions of royal sinners, though we might lie there for a lifetime of luxury. You know what? Only Spurgeon can talk like that, right? But he's just reminding us that God's worst is better than the devil's best. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere? I can't think but to remember there are times throughout my life as a young man growing in my love for the Lord that I just desired to be at church. You know, we've talked about how God's presence dwells within us in the person of Christ, but there's still something special about being at church and having corporate worship together on the Lord's day. And I remember when I was a young man, I was a physician's assistant. I worked in open heart surgery for a number of years in Savannah, Georgia. And there were times I missed church. I would be operating in the operating room, literally. Sometimes two or three Sundays in a row, and I would just miss church for a season. And I didn't like that. So on those Sundays, when I missed being at church, sometimes I would just drive by the church building during the week, and I'd park my car, and I'd walk in, and I would just walk past the secretary, and I would walk past the vestibule, and I would walk into the sanctuary, and I would walk up to the temple, just like on a Tuesday or on a Thursday, because I missed being in the presence of God. And there were times I would just lay on my face in front of the altar in the church building, and I would just say, God, I want to be in your presence. God, draw me close. I don't want to miss being in your presence even for a minute. Lord, I pray that you would just let me be here just for a moment. I'd rather be in your house than to be anywhere else. I just wonder if you can say that. Do you long to be in the presence of God to where you would do anything you can just to be with the Lord? Are you taking it for granted today? So if we're going to prize God's presence, we got to realize that God's house is better than anywhere else, verse 10, and God's house is better than anything else. And that's where the psalmist ends in verses 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor, and no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. I love how this psalm ends. The Lord is a sun and a shield. I understand this to mean that he shines down favorably on his people. With beaming grace, God empowers and enlightens our days. With illuminating light, God guides and directs our path. Young man, you don't know what you ought to be doing right now in your life? Let me just remind you, better is one day in the courts of the Lord, to be in God's house. And so again, this text says, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So if you're listening today and you're not walking uprightly, you're filled with your own sin, you're filled with pride, you're filled with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the boastful pride of life, the lust of the eyes, then maybe that's why you're struggling today. Sin has overcome your life. And today, you got to get out of wherever you are, and you got to get to the place where God is. And part of that means I want to be making a highway to God, a pilgrimage to God. And I want to pray that I could see God, and I want to prize his presence, and I want to walk uprightly. It means that we're not leaning towards the world. To walk uprightly means that you're not constantly falling into sin. To walk uprightly means that you are balanced and that you keep moving ahead into his presence. It's all about us resting in the finished work of the cross and at the same time striving to pursue the practical holiness that God has called us to. Let me finish by just sharing with you another of my favorite hymns talking about being in the presence of the Lord through Christ. And the song goes like this: I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. Yes, I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and to be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than worldly applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. Can I just ask you this morning, is that true of you? Are you struggling with confidence? Are you struggling with timidity, anxiety, depression? Then make a highway to God today. Psalm 84, seek to be in the beauties of the temple in the presence of God. Are you craving for the presence of God? Are you coming into the presence of God? And are you content there in the presence of the Lord. Let me pray for you today that you would pursue him in these ways. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for that young man who's listening, who might be honest enough to say, I'm not where I need to be. I pray that you would draw us into your presence. May we see the beauties of the temple, and may we make a pilgrimage to the temple, and may we prize the beauty of being in the presence of the Lord there in the holy place. God, draw us in. Help us to push everything else out and to press into your presence today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.